faith. You know, very unworthy. I need to turn this thing on. I'm very unworthy.
But I'm glad to be here tonight. Yeah, I can hear myself now. All right. My prayer is that the verse in the Bible, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because, you know, I need Him to work on me all the time. If you own a house, you have something that you got to work on just about every week, or something mess up, a dripping faucet, or something you got to work on. Well, that's with me. I mean, He needs to work on me all the time. You know, because I'm an unruly child. I'm a lost sinner, you know, was going to hell, but now I'm saved. You know, nothing that I done, but it's because of Him. You know, it's just like Jared, you know. I used to wish I could sing, now I wished he could. You know, but we all have our gifts, our quirks, but I tell my wife, I said, Jesus must really, really love me. Loves me so much that He would give somebody like her to me to be my mate here on this earth. You know, I mean, if you don't have a good woman, I feel for you. Jared, she is not a beast. You know. But but it's good to be here. I'm so unworthy. You know, I just can't say that enough. I'm just thankful that God loves me.
Yeah, right.
You know, me.
Yeah.
With everything I've done and worked again Him, yeah, and done, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. Yeah. But I haven't been a good person all the time. I mean, maybe you all's not like that, you know, but praise the Lord. You know, I reckon in September the 23rd, 1969, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. Some of you fellas wasn't even born at that time, you know. But that's how long I've been walking this walk, and I ain't, you know, it's like that. He carried me and drugged me a lot of the way because I was not wanting to go. You know, the world gets in you, you see things, and you mess up, you know. But God loves you, you know. Let's read some verses here, and we'll get into this. I hope I do a better job explaining this than what I did maybe the last time I got to preach here. You know, I don't know if you remember or not, but it was about the Pharisee. You know, and there's so much of that Pharisee in me.
Yeah.
You know, there's things, you know, I look out over the crowd and I see people come in on Sunday mornings and I shake hands with them and stuff, and I have thoughts.
Yeah.
I have Pharisee thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, but God loves me anyway.
Yeah,
I just have to say, Lord, forgive me.
Right.
You know, I know You love them. But it's really hard for me to, you know. But if you go to the sixth chapter of Galatians, and we'll read here just a little bit, starting with the first verse, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, you don't want to stray off just because you're trying to help somebody and what they're into. You know, we need to watch. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's something that we have a lot of trouble with, is bearing somebody's burden. You know, we might know what's going on in our life, but a lot of times, you know, because of the Pharisee in us, we don't really pray for them like we ought to. You know, I mean, it's good Brother Rick stands up here, or Brother Mark, and he talks about the prayer request and who's having trouble and who lost loved ones and everything like that. But you think, well, that Dave Butler, I don't really like the way he combs his hair, and I ain't going to pray for it. You know, I mean, we don't pray for people for a lot of really simple, stupid stuff. You know, and what do you think about yourself? You know, you think you're getting the prayers that you ought to? You know, I mean, if you didn't pray for me today when you found out I was going to preach, you know, you just get what you got. You know, and that's all it's worth. For if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's me. I'm nothing. You know. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know. I don't know. Recently, I've been having some problem, and recently I went to Charleston, and they put me to sleep, and they done a test on me, and I had a friend that had that done, and he called his buddy and told his buddy, he said, "You need to take me down there to have this test done. They're going to put me to sleep. And I'm not sure what I might say, so I don't want my wife to take me." So he wanted his buddy to take him. Well, my wife took me. I really didn't know all this at the time, but she took me. And then in there, when he's in the, what they call that, waking up room, you know, she's the first one I remember seeing. But there's a little nurse come in there, and I looked at that nurse and I said, "Are you saved? Are you go to church? Are you saved?" And she looked at me and she said, "How many times are you going to ask me this?" You know, I mean, I'm glad that's what was on my mind. You know. So, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. It don't get much simpler than that. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them, unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, and I know the preacher's been preaching about, Brother Mark, he's been preaching about the home. And when things are not right at home, things ain't right at the church. And about, you know, we don't love one another like we ought to. So we don't bear one another's burdens like we ought to. And if I won't do something good for you, and something simple as pray for you, what do you think I'm going to do to somebody out there in the world? You know, if you won't do it for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you ain't going to do much to help the world for us testifying and telling about Jesus or anything else. You know, it's a sad thing when we got a church full of people and you got a more lost people than they are saved. You know, just like when we come over here on the weekends, we pass that flea market down there on 19. There's more people at that flea market than there are here in the church on your best day. Then them fellas is all over that junk down there. Yeah.
That's right.
They ought to be here. I just like I went to my granddaughter's graduation the other Friday evening. You know, went in there and sit down. We went early to get a good seat. Went in there and sit down. And the bleachers filled up. I mean, they was plumb full on both sides. They brought them graduates in and they had all them chairs set out there in the middle and they was filled up. And then the chairs behind them, a bunch of people were sitting in them. You know, I mean, the place was full. And I thought, man, wouldn't Brother Mark like to be here and preach to these fellas? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, all, you know, they probably wouldn't have liked it. And some of them probably left. But at the same time, you know, that what an opportunity. But, you know, I was glad that there's a little young man in the graduating class got up and he went up there and got to the mic and he led them in prayer. Said a prayer. Yeah, right there in front of God and everybody. You know, I realized probably a lot of people didn't like that, but I was proud of that young man getting up there and bragging on Jesus in front of that crowd. Praise the Lord for young fellas like that. You know, we have a lot of young men in churches all over this country, you know, that don't know how to do that. Like I said, I went to church about all my life. Whenever I was a kid in the home, you know, I had a drug problem. My mom drugged me to church every Sunday morning because we had to walk about a half a mile or three quarters of a mile up a road. She didn't have driver's license, so we walk and go to church. Well, I got married. I got saved. But then when I got married, I still wasn't know where what I ought to be. And we went to my aunt and uncle's house one Sunday for dinner. And this is where one thing that really struck me. He asked me to say grace. Yeah. Well, I wasn't used to hearing people say grace at the table. My mom was a good cook, you know. But at the same time, you know, I just looked and I said, well, I never did do that. So he done it. But then I got to thinking about that and doing it. And so we got to saying grace at home, you know. I mean, but it's funny how things wake you up. Something simple as that.
That's right.
I mean, how many in here say grace? You know, I'm just questioning you. If you're not saying grace over your meals, whether your wife's or mother's a good cook or not, you know, shame on you. You know, yeah, God was good enough to give it to you. You ought to be thankful for it. But this thing in here about this sowing. Last year, I bought corn seed, planted in the garden, you know, like I always do. Ask the Lord to bless it, take care of it. Well, it growed up good, you know. But the ears was just like that. It really didn't amount to nothing. I ended up feeding most of it to the chickens. Well, they loved it. But at the same time, it wasn't really good corn to can and cook or freeze or do something with, you know. We eat some of it, you know, but the chickens loved it. So, you know, it don't make no difference what you're sowing. It might not work out right for you.
Right.
Especially if it's not out of this.
Right.
There's a lot of seed out there in this world that's not good seed. So you need to watch about what you do sow. That's just like me. I sowed that in good faith, you know, asked the Lord to bless it, you know, and it growed up, done good, but it wasn't good seed. Are you good seed? Are you sowing good seed? I realize we're going to have this fun in the sun thing next Saturday, you know. Are you going to be there and sow good seed? Or are you just going to be there and have fun and go on? Or are you going to pull somebody off the side that you know is lost and tell them about Jesus? That's the most important thing you can do, is tell somebody about Jesus. This sowing, you know, I think about that and think about things in the Bible, just like the very first sinner, Adam and Eve. Things didn't work out good for them. They had one commandment. They couldn't handle that. Just one. Then you go on in the Bible. You come up to, I might have these mixed up, but at the same time, you know, you'll get the gist of all of them. Maybe praise the Lord. Moses. God, you all know about Moses. Moses was God's man, you know. God protected him through a lot of things and a lot of ways. But when he got up to go into the promised land, God wouldn't let him go in. There was quirks with Moses that, you know, he tried to do without God. So he ended up, God wouldn't let him go into the promised land. For some of them reasons, you know. I mean, God has his own reasons. But God still loved Moses enough that he took him himself out there and buried him.
That's right.
You know, even though Moses wasn't perfect, but God still loved him.
Yeah.
He might not let him do his thing going into the promised land, but God still loved him. And he took him out there and buried him. Nobody knows where, but God knows. There's all kind of good things like that. And we come up to Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, there are lots you can say about Noah. He was righteous. He tried to do good. And he done good. He done what God wanted him to do. He built an ark when everybody around thought he was crazy. Never had rain before. So, you know, people thought he was nuts. But he done what God told him to do. And everything worked out good for him. You know. And we come out to Job. Job was a righteous and upright man. God loved Job. And Job loved God. And God blessed him. He had all kind of good stuff. Cows and barns and horses and sheep and camels and just kids. He was blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Like us here in America. But at the same time, God let the devil in there to tempt him in the worst ways imaginable. Me and Rick was talking outside there, you know, about, you know, the God blessed him and he gave him more after all this was over than what he had to start with. But still yet, do you reckon Job missed his first kids? You know? I mean, you know, he give him more, but still yet, you know, you'd have to be sorry for the ones you lost, wouldn't you? But that's just the way it works out. You know, God, he loves you. You know, we don't understand his love. We can't understand why things happen. These people passed away. My mom, she passed away. Died on my birthday. You know. I was happy for her. You know, she was 95 years old. She told me, every time I went up to the hospital, she told me, I'd like you home. And she wasn't talking about one on down there on the creek. She was wanting to go home.
Yeah.
You know, so when the Lord did take her, I was glad. You know, I mean, it might be kind of sorry to say, but, you know, she was where she wanted to be, and the Lord's taken better care of her than any of us or I could do. You know, so, you know, she's just blessed. But at the same time, there's a emptiness in my heart, you know. But God didn't stop loving me and take my mom. He still loves me. And He gave me the comfort and knowing that she was His and I can be good with that. Give Him the honor, praise, and glory that my mom's up there. There's people in the Bible that God loved. Elijah. You know, God loved him. He took him up to heaven in a whirlwind. He didn't die. He just snatched him up. You know. I never just seen nobody snatched up. You know. But that wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
You know, if he's just snatched up and gone, you know. Everybody wonder what happened to Brother Rick or what happened to Brother Jared, you know. They just vanished.
Yeah.
Praise God. Ain't no mourning and weeping, you know. Ain't having no funeral because they're gone. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And then Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua, he loved God. You know, God loved him. He even said there in the 24th chapter and the 15th verse, it ended up, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's more to it, you know, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we all need to rear back and say every morning when we get up and think about me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And not instead of thinking about, well, what can I get into today? You know. Like me and Brother Rick was talking out there, you know, you need to ask God to forgive you and to help you every day, several times a day, instead of me or self, the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, you need to follow the Spirit.
Yes.
To where you reap something good instead of following the flesh where you reap something worldly.
Good.
You know, we fool around too much.
Yes.
I'm number one. Yes. You know, I used to tell them I was a working fool. I'd work a while and then fool a while. You know. But at the same time, you know, it's the truth. You know, he always said it for a joke, you know, but it's the truth. I'm worthless. You know, without him, without this, I'm worthless. Then we come to David. What about David? David was a man after God's own heart. But at the same time, David done all kind of stuff to get messed up. You know, messed up, sinned, chased around, had people killed, took her women, but God still loved him. So make no difference what you've done, what's going on in your life. I want to tell you right now that God still loves you.
Amen.
Hey, one guy out there on a job I used to work with, he asked me one day, he said, Rogers, he said, tell me something that's the truth. This is something that's true. And I just looked at him and I said, Jesus loves you. You know. And it was maybe 10 years later, I seen him again out there, you know. And he said, Roger, he said, tell me something that's real, something that's the truth. And I said, it's just like I told you last time. This is 10 years ago. I don't know whether you remember it or not. But I said, Jesus loves you. That time I told him, I said, I really don't know why. You know, I don't know why he loves me, let alone some other joker. But you know, he loves you. Rick, he loves you. You know, I mean, you're blessed to have God's love. God Almighty. Yeah. But David, he seeked around, and he's the one who wrote that verse I quoted to start with. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, I think about that all the time. I just kind of run on to that this last year. And I think we had it in memory verse at one time. But, yeah. I need a clean heart. I stand here before you now, and they have that on the board, you know, about a heart or a verse for this year, whole year, you know. Well, you know, I need my heart cleaned before you can fix it. You know, you go to a mechanic, you try to glue two pieces of wood together. There's so many things like that you do in this world, her world here, like that. But you've got to clean them first before you can fix them. It makes no difference. You're a nurse or whatever you're doing. You know, if somebody's in real bad shape and they're filthy, you know, you got to clean them up before you can work on that bad part. It's just like fixing the engine, doing whatever. You got to clean it out and sterilize it, clean it up real good before you can set in and start to fix it.
Yeah, right.
You take. I do a lot of woodworking. Well, you got to clean the wood up before you put the glue on it and try to clamp it and get it to go together if you want it to really hold, to fix it.
Right. Yes.
And then if you're going to put a varnish, some kind of something on it, you want to wet it down and wipe it and clean it up good, and that'll make the grain pop in it to where you can sand it off again and make it slick, and then you can finish it. Well, wood don't like water to start with. I reckon that's the reason all this happens. So a lot of times when God's trying to fix us, he's doing something that we don't like in order to get us fixed. So, you know, that's the reason to create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And in that way, it makes no difference what God's going to do, I'm going to be all right with it. Because I got my heart cleaned up and I'm ready to be fixed.
Right.
Praise God, it's good. He loves me. Make no difference what you folks think. You know, he loves me. I'm blessed and highly favored, Garth. Yeah. Then we have a feller. It's over in Acts. 8th chapter and 18th verse. I'll just turn back there and we'll see about that. The 8th chapter and 18th verse. That's about that little feller that was rich. You know, that's about the way all of us in here, you know, were rich. A lot of people don't think they are, but you actually, you're better off than what you think. There's a lot of people don't have a place like this. You know, air conditioning, to where you have to wear a coat in order to be comfortable in July. You know, but it's good. But you take Simon, saw that laying on of hands, that's the 18th verse of the 8th chapter, you know. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You know, there's a lot of people that if they could, they'd say, well, Brother Rick, here's $100,000. You go to church for me today, this week. Might give you $1 million just to go all year for you. If he could buy into this salvation. You know, but you can't buy into it.
That's right.
You cannot buy into it.
Yep.
This fellow here, he figured out that he couldn't buy the Holy Ghost. You know, he could got him for nothing.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same way with us. We can get him for nothing. But people rather spend money than do what's right and do what God wants.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's just time consuming. I don't have time for that. I'd rather just pay somebody to do it. You all know somebody like that. Yeah, the almighty dollar. The almighty dollar. That's a shame. But that's the way it is. So when we're talking about that and talking about the almighty dollar, then we go to Matthew. There's a rich young puller. Messed up on my notes, I reckon. But anyway, let me see here. Yeah. Matthew, the 13th chapter. I think this is where it's at. You know, that one what I was wanting. Praise God. Lord, help me. You know, I just... Okay, it's Acts, the 5th chapter. I always thought it was in the right chapter, but I just get bum-fuzzled. Do you ever get things mixed up?
Yeah.
No? I mean, I'm glad some of you over here said yes, you know. But Acts, the 5th chapter, and you say, I ain't going to read it all, but it's about... And I can't really say their names, but Ananias and Sapphira or something like that, you know. They lied. Lied to Peter. Lied to God. It was not so bad maybe lying to Peter, but they lied to God. Yeah. You know what God did? He struck them dead. He struck Ananias dead first, and then when his wife came in, she just told the same thing, and she hit the floor too. You know. So you want to watch what you do. You want to watch about lying, especially to God. You know. It's like they asked me, I come with the Lord's will. You know, I can't do nothing on my own. And even when he helps me, it seems like we have a hard time. But I hope you first got something out of this evening. But you know, you need to watch about lying to God. Who knows? That might be the reason some of these people die. Early age. You know. Praise God. I'm 72 years old, so I already lived my 70. You know, I'm living on borrowed time. So he's blessed me, Brother Rick. I mean, I'm just thankful for his love and mercy and grace on my life. You know, I haven't done everything that I ought to have done, but I haven't done anything so bad that he struck me dead. Praise God. Because he could have. You know, you might know somebody that lost a loved one because of sin. I can't say for sure because I'm not God, but I just think, you know, a lot of times we can commit sins and do stuff, and the Lord's not going to let you get away with it. You're going to pay. You know, I think this feller, he sinned pretty good. The Lord took his son, early age. Well, it might be coincidence, but it might be because of the way he treat people, way he done. You know. So, Teddy, I'm sorry for feeling ill at you. You know, you're not such a bad guy. Make no difference what your wife says. Yeah, bless her heart. But you know, it is through the Bible, things that goes on that we don't know why God does certain things. You know, and people wonder why, you know, whenever he went into these camps and had Joshua going and they killed all them people. And he said, leave everything. Don't take nothing. That one fellow took something, you know, and he ended up killing him. Disobeyed God. But at the same time, the fellow said, well, why did God have all them people killed? You know, why? If he's such a loving God, why would he have a whole tribe massacred? They wasn't his people. And to take care of his people, he give the order to have it destroyed to protect his people. So, you know, if you're really a child of God, God's going to protect you. So, you know, the wiles or whales or whatever this of this world don't have anything to do with you. Because God's going to protect you. Everything is going to work out good. But God loves each and every one of you. I don't know why, but he does. Just like the verse John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Why would God love a world like this? But he does. And we're blessed to be in it. Especially in these United States. You know. It's part of the world too. A lot of times we think, I grew up thinking, well, the world was out yonder somewhere. You know. Then in the sixth grade, they went on a trip, you know. And we went to Charleston, West Virginia. And we went the old way because 79 wasn't en route that time. But we went down there on a Greyhound bus. Got back home. Dad said, what'd you think? And I said, boy, if the world's as big that way as it was that way, this is a big place. You know. Yeah, because it was a long way to Charleston back in the day.
Right.
Yeah. But God loves you. You know, I'm not going to stand here and say I love you and each and every one of you. I love the most of you. You know. You too, Chris. You know. But, you know, it's all good. God loves you. That's the one that matters. This here's what matters. And you read it and study it, it'll tell you that God loves you individually. Well, Brother Rick, I'm going to give it back to you. I've had a good time. You know, I appreciate your patience. You know, and I want you to think about the world and what you do and how you act in it tomorrow. Today, it don't really make that much difference because you're in the house of God. But tomorrow, when you're out in this world, in these United States, are you going to act like a Christian?
Amen.
You know, a lot of us don't. You know, we have good intentions, but they don't. It's like a squirrel tried to run across the road. He had good intentions, but that car come along and he didn't make it. But I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad. Glad. Brother Rick.
Amen.